Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
We're in the middle of a series. It's called Be Free, and it's really speaking of learning how to live from revelation versus living out of your own head. And I want to challenge you with some things today, and my heart cry always for all of you is that we just get flat out uncomfortable where we are. How can nobody say amen? We just get flat out uncomfortable where we are. My prayer is that we get uncomfortable, and please listen and hear what I say here. We get uncomfortable just reading black print on a white page. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. The Passion Translation says, if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your life. So that sounds to me like that's an action on our part, right? We have to take a hold of something and draw it to us. You know, like I said before, in many times in the past, I was raised in church my entire life. As far back as I can remember, I had a drug problem and I was drugged to church every week. And usually, if you could find, you know, we had a main sanctuary and then we had a second elevated section in the back, and you could usually find me on the very back row back there. Me and my friend. And we would sit back there during the entire service and completely ignore everything that's being said. Get into trouble. There used to be this deacon in the church. He's my Sunday school teacher, too. He's an old guy. He always had some stern look on his face all the time, but it was Mr. Wilson. And I always knew when I was busted because I would get the Dr. Spock grip on the back of my neck. It was Mr. Wilson busting me. We were being too loud or goofing around. And so that was my extent of church growing up. So it really wasn't, you know, it wasn't much there. It was just a bunch of words. And the first chance I had to get a real job and go to work, I scheduled myself on Sundays so I wouldn't have to go to church. It was really pretty efficient, too, until my restaurant closed. And the manager said, hey, why don't you come to work with me in, I thought he said Tucson, and I had been close to there, so I remember the palm trees, so I said, sure, I'll go. And then I found out he went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it was like the exact opposite of that. But God had other plans. So I've been through quite a bit. I've seen a lot of things in my Christian life. I know there's folks here that have seen even more, but one of the things that it seemed like we never touched on was the person. Everybody say the person. Of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I came from a, quote, well, I came from an evangelical background, and then when I went to Tulsa and I eventually got over my spirit of stupid, I actually got back into church and I hadn't drunk all my brain cells dead yet, so And I got filled with the Spirit and got to participate in what the Bible calls speaking in tongues, and that changed my life. It made my Bible go from a storybook to a pop-up book. Now all the things that I was reading, all of a sudden now they're three-dimensional when I'm reading, and I'm seeing stuff that I'd never seen before, and I was like, this is a whole nother arena. And it was fantastic. So I'm not saying that I have any issues with any place where I came from, but I will say this, and we did talk about the Holy Spirit, and we were, quote, all filled with the Spirit, but yet we never knew how to interact with the person. There's a person of the Holy Spirit. And quite frankly, while I do appreciate the exposure and the word and the teaching, and I mean it was fantastic, but he didn't want me to stay there. He's trying to get you to come to him. Jesus made this statement to the religious crowds. He says, "You think in the scriptures that by them you have eternal life." Everybody know where that is? You've heard it before, right? And he said, but those scriptures were designed to lead you to me. Not as an idea, but as an experience, as an interaction with the person, right? So all of our input of theological training and teaching in the scriptures and learning, you know, categorically certain topics, it's all fantastic, but it's never designed to replace you knowing how to plug in and interact with the person. That's why I mentioned the challenge that I was given is, if you were put in a room and you had no props, how would you relate to me? Some of us would just have to flat out admit, fall on our face and say, God, I don't know how, but I want to learn. Will you help me? Some of us don't even know how to talk to God that way. He doesn't have any issue with that. He'd just say, yeah, I already knew that, but thanks for admitting it. Let's go. Remember the scripture in Revelation I read to you? This is out of the Passion Translation. I read a lot out of the Passion Translation. I'll just tell you frankly, the reason I do is because we need to get some new thoughts. And everybody with a rousing amen said amen. Amen. We need to get some new thoughts. And I appreciate how the author of the Passion Translation has brought certain things out of the Aramaic, since that was the language of the day for Jesus. There was Greek too, but Aramaic was common language. In Revelation 3 verse 14, it says this, write the following. This is Jesus speaking. Now this isn't the Jesus that was walking around in the sandals and the white robe, cursing the fig tree. He looks a little bit different here. He said, write the following, he's talking to John, to the messenger of the congregation in Laodicea, for these are the words of the Amen, faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He goes on to say in verse 15, I know all that you do, I know that you are neither frozen in apathy nor fervent with passion, but I wish you were either one or the other. And then he goes on to say, but because you're neither cold nor hot but lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And there's verse 17. He says, for you claim I'm rich and getting richer. I don't need a thing. Yet you're clueless that you're miserable, poor, blind, barren, and naked. Now, what does that first part look like in modern day? It looks like this. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the blessed. greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Translation, I'm rich and getting richer and don't need a thing. Well, all of those things are true. If it's nothing more than theology to you, you've rested in a place where you ought not. Because he goes on to say, yet you're clueless that you're miserable, poor, blind, barren, and naked. Notice what he goes on to say. This is very fascinating. Revelation 3, verses 18 and 19, again in the Passion Translation. He said, so I counsel you to purchase gold perfected by fire so that you can be truly rich. Purchase a white garment to cover and clothe your shameful, and I love this phrase, Adam nakedness. It's just talking about walking in your natural head. Purchase eye salve to be placed over your eyes so that you can truly see, verse 19, all of those that I dearly love, I unmask and train. What is he speaking of in these verses? And we've talked about it before. But for the sake of review, because I know if you've heard it once, you probably didn't, it didn't stick with you. This wasn't probably the verse you were meditating on last night. He said, purchase gold perfected by fire. He talks about purchase eye salve to be placed over your eyes so that you can truly see. What is he speaking of here? He's speaking of moving from the place where they are, where they think I'm rich and in need of nothing because I know, I heard the theological teaching that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I heard the theological teaching that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I heard the theological teaching, you can fill in the blank. But it's not revelation. You just heard somebody say it to you. And so we settle on these things and we think we're in need of nothing when actually, because of the fact that it didn't come from revelation, you can't live on another man's revelation. Somebody might as well say amen. It's absolutely a fact. You cannot, you can listen to somebody else teach you something, but you cannot live from their revelation. There's zero power from that place. So for us to settle in on theological concepts and think, well, I got that one, I got that one, I know that one, I know that one, I know that one, and you're checking it off the list, I think right in all these areas. I'm rich and in need of nothing. But because of the fact that he says, purchase gold perfected by fire, what is that? Well, the gold and the eye salve are the same thing. They're speaking of revelation. Get revelation from me and then don't just sit on it. Go put it into motion out there in the real world where the fire is. And if you'll do that, you'll allow me to prove to you that what you got was absolutely genuine and authentic and it becomes gold. So much of what we've called Christianity is nothing more than the transfer of information from one person to another, and then the receiving person thinks, I got it, I'm in. And nothing's tried. We've talked about this before in Romans chapter 12. There's so much of an influence there about, you know, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove the acceptable, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We've put so much emphasis on the mind there that we've missed what that verse is actually saying. Did you know the word prove there literally means to put something into motion and to allow it to be proven to be authentic? Just what he's saying here. Purchase gold perfected by fire. Well, I don't want to. Then you'll never know. You'll never really know. You'll never really know what's in you. You'll never really know the authenticity of it. You'll never really know any of that. It'll all just be theory, and you'll stand on the sidelines and you'll say, oh God, come down, move, please move, do something. And all the while, the entire kingdom and all that his Father is inside of you. He's calling to tell me that I'm speaking good here. Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, he says, behold, and he just got done telling them to go and purchase gold perfected by fire, purchase eye salve to be placed over your eyes so that you can truly see. He's talking about farming revelation from the Spirit of God and then putting it into motion and allowing the Spirit of God to prove to you that what you got is absolutely authentic and it will produce results. This is the part of the process that somewhere along the way we've missed it. We got comfortable with just the transfer of information. But isn't it interesting that you can take a room full of folks that all get all the right information and you start talking to them individually and they're as unsure about things as anybody else? You know why? Because they're trying to live from knowledge, not from revelation. Even in this series, when I go through and I can show you place after place after place after place after place where the Spirit of God is admonishing us to unhitch from living from your own thought processes and lock down on learning how to farm revelation from me and then put it into practice. I can teach that and teach that and teach that until you could regurgitate it word for word, but you still haven't done it. And there's no power there. Father's looking to raise up a people. He's looking to raise up local churches where people are just absolutely not satisfied sitting in a seat getting black print on a white page, and that's all they care. He's wanting them to know what to do with that information, to meditate on that information, to get into that, and let the Spirit of God give you revelation of what you were taught so that when you get the revelation, then you take that revelation and you go out there in the marketplace, put some pressure on it, or as he says in those verses, purchase gold perfected by fire. Perfected by fire, perfected by circumstances, perfected by going out there and putting it into action and allowing the Spirit of God and learning in those moments how to navigate in that area. We can talk all day long about connecting with people out in the marketplace and ministering to them, but if we don't ever do that, if we just take it in as information and you just say, well, you know, that's good for some people, that's just not my personality. You don't have a clue what your personality is. He knows you better than you know you. And the last time I checked, my wife and I have these conversations all the time. You know, because she talks about the personality types and all that. And, you know, I get it. But the fact is, you know, there's 5 or 6 different personalities? Did you ever notice that there's not 5 or 6 different Bibles for each personality? There's not five or six different Great Commissions for each personality because, you know, God knows. My personality, that's not me, so he's got to give me something else because I can't go into all the world and say anything to anybody because that's just not who I am. Did you ever notice there's only one Great Commission and he didn't dovetail it to anybody's personality? There you go. It's because you can have all those personalities, but as soon as the Holy Spirit gets a hold of all those personalities, if you let him have your personality, he'll take that personality, he'll change it into someone who's absolutely equipped to fulfill and to walk out the Great Commission. Because that is the only assignment we have. There isn't anything else. But I can teach all day long on us going into the marketplace and talking to people and ministering to people and learning how to pull from things in your spirit for those people. But unless you actually go out there and do it and put things into practice and kind of get an idea, okay, how do you work with me, Holy Spirit? You know, do I see pictures? Do you give me a word, a thought? Do you give me an impression? How do you work with me? None of that stuff gets developed. I was at a place yesterday, and we went out for breakfast, and It's Butters. Best breakfast place ever. Anyway, and we had a great waitress. She did a fantastic job, and I've just got in the habit now that whenever I'm in a restaurant, I'm looking for a connection with the waitress and waiter. I want God to tell me some things about them, because I'm not leaving that place until I have an opportunity to conduct kingdom business. Look, I just be honest with you. I'm, 50-something? That's all I'm going to say. Quite honestly, I lose track. So I'm just 50-something. I don't know what it is. But, you know, let's say I got 50 more years. I don't want to waste my life. And I certainly don't want to get up and this whole thing is over with. And then, this is all hypothetical. It's not going to happen. But, you know, you get pulled in a room and a hologram of what your life was supposed to be starts playing. And so you start seeing yourself connecting with all these people, and you're seeing yourself developing a Holy Spirit ministry, and you start seeing yourself, the impact that you're making on this planet, and you're like, man, this is amazing. And then you realize, oh crap, I didn't do any of that. I didn't give myself to develop in these areas. I just like listening to that book or listening to that tape. That was good enough for me. But he wants to develop you in interacting with his person out there in the real world. So anyway, we were at this restaurant, and I was just asking the Lord someplace to connect. And I noticed that she had this big old serpent on her tattoo on her arm. And I'm like, dear Jesus, how in the world am I going to connect with that? The devil. You know, and I'm thinking, how am I going to connect with that? And he reminded me of the scripture where Jesus said to live your life shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know what the word shrewd means. I mean, I kind of do, but I wanted to make sure I look it up. And it has to do with having insight and perspective. And so I realized that what I want to tell her is that Jesus is pursuing her and that she's marked for wisdom. And that he was going to show her things and give her insight into things that nobody else has seen. And it was going to take her to the top of the crowd, and he was going to fulfill the desires she had in her heart. Glory. So I ended up, the opportunity didn't develop to where I could tell her that, so I just wrote it on a receipt. I tipped the bill and I wrote it on a receipt. What am I doing? I'm learning how to develop in these things. What happens when you have an entire church that learns how to develop in these things? What do you look like knowing how to minister from the kingdom? I want you to think about that. You say, well, maybe I haven't really thought about that. Maybe you ought to. We talked about the fact that the ultimate place of living from revelation is living submitted to the Holy Spirit's correction. Remember that? That was a fun lesson. But I'll just tell you, I mean, if you haven't, you should go back and, you know, no, I'm not going to call everybody. Did you listen to the message this week? I'm not going to do that. But they're all on the website, and hopefully, you know, when it comes to living from revelation, you appreciate what the Spirit of God is giving you here. And you go back and listen to it and re-listen to it, and Holy Spirit, show me some revelation from this so that I can put that to put that into practice in my life. Because again, the mere transfer of information, there's nothing there. It's just knowledge. I'm going to say that again. The mere transfer of information is just knowledge. There's nothing there. It's only when revelation shows up that the power is connected to that to bring change. I'm not really sure where we got this idea that the finish line was the information. Not really sure how that happened. You know, even in the area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everybody's kind of heard about that. You know, the Bible calls it speaking in tongues. For those of us that have given ourselves to that and allowed Holy Spirit to bring that into our life, it's fascinating because over the years, you know, we've talked about that. We call it being, quote, Spirit-filled. Have you ever heard that phrase, Spirit-filled? But it's the farthest thing from that. See this glass right here? Just because it has water in it, does that mean it's filled? What makes this filled? There's no room for more, and it flows out, right? Until the flowing out happens, there's no filled, right? So we call being baptized in the Holy Spirit and, quote, getting our prayer language or our heavenly language or whatever term you heard, speaking in tongues, speaking out of our spirit, we've called that being, quote, Spirit-filled, when that's really not the case. It's like, I heard it likened like this. It's like the Israelites crossing the geographical boundary into the promised land and stopping. We're here. And then they put the next barrier in place. So now they're pinned between two barriers. Have they taken the land? No. They're squatting, right. They crossed over geographically into the land, but then the very next thing that went up was more boundaries. But it all came out of their own head. And they didn't want to cross those boundaries. Let me ask you a question. Are we honest enough to come out from behind our theology and admit we want more in our experience with God? I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me. And the answer is, I'm absolutely willing to admit that I want more in my experience with God. You know, here's a phrase that used to bother me. And if anybody's ever heard me speak in any years previous to today, chances are you probably heard me talk about the word desperate. Well, I don't particularly care for the word desperate because it has the idea of despondency and we're not despondent, right? Well, most of us aren't despondent. We could use the word utter dependence, right? Would we be willing to use the word utter dependent, that you as an individual would admit that you're utterly dependent on the person of the Holy Spirit. That we're willing to come out from behind our theology and admit that we want more in our experiences with God. Because it's kind of like AA. This is a spiritual AA. The first step is admitting. Paul didn't have a problem with this. You mean what he said? He said, when I came to you, he's talking to the Corinthian church, and you know how much of a spiritual bunch of group of people these folks were. But he still came to them and said, when I first came to you and proclaimed to you the secrets of God, I refused to come as an expert. Again, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. I refused to come as an expert, trying to impress you with my elegant speech and lofty wisdom. For I was intentionally consumed with one topic, Jesus, the crucified Messiah. Verse 3, I stood before you feeling inadequate, and I'm so glad he didn't stop there. Because people stop there and you stop too soon. That's where most people stop. I came to you feeling inadequate. And then we crawl up into our wormy inadequateness. But that's not where Paul was stopped. He just said, I came to you willing to feel inadequate, but filled with the reverence for God. In other words, who's the biggest one in the room? He is. In the midst of any situation he walked into, he was willing to look like an absolute idiot. As long as Jesus was the biggest one in the room. There's the fire. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. The fire produces the experience. The experience validates what you really have. He said, I stood before you feeling inadequate, filled with reverence for God, and trembling under the sense of the importance of my words. He goes on to say in verse 4, this is chapter 2, I believe it is. The message I preached and how I preached it was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments, but to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power. Now, can you explain to me, this verse is in everybody's Bible, and yet we keep trying to steer people away from pursuing experiences with him. Well, brother, that's because it gets a little too crazy. That's not for you to say. We got to be able to keep a handle on things. Who said? That's not your place. What would we do? I want to do this so bad. What would we do if we all went to the mall and there was only one rule? Okay, two rules. The first rule is you couldn't quote anybody else. Unless it was Holy Spirit or Jesus. And the second rule is, you couldn't quote it or say it unless he brought it to you right in the moment. How would you demonstrate the kingdom and bring somebody to the experience or the place of experiencing Jesus? What if that's all we had? What if we had nothing else? What would we do? The answer to that is where he's trying to take his entire church. Notice this in Isaiah 64, verses 1 and 2. Who set that clock forward? Isaiah 64, verses 1 and 2. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. Notice how he compares the introduction of the presence of God into an environment. As fire kindles the brushwood, and as fire causes water to boil, make your name known to the adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Verse 3. When you did awesome things which we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. He mentions the presence of God at least three times in these verses. You know what he didn't mention? He didn't mention the scrolls. He didn't mention the Torah. He didn't mention the print. He mentions the presence. He says, for from days of old they've not heard and perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God beside you who acts in behalf of the ones who wait for him. Paul quoted these scriptures in his letter to the Corinthians when he was talking about Father gave you the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit, who is the only one who knows how Father is thinking right this moment. Well, aside from Jesus, but they're not separated, so. 1 Corinthians 2:9 in the Passion Translation says it like this. This is why the Scripture says, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all of His lovers. Do you think that maybe he's talking about even experiences that you don't see in the print? He used the word discover. And we like that because Acts 17:27 says that God is easy to... He's easy. He's not hiding from you. Verse 10, 2 Corinthians, God now, everybody say now, unveils these profound realities to us by His Spirit, the person of His Spirit. Yes. Everybody say yes. Now you got to say it like me. Yes. Okay. He has revealed to us His innermost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, or the person of the Holy Spirit, who's constantly exploring all things. Can you imagine? You go to the mall. You strike up a conversation with somebody. See, some folks don't feel like they're very good at striking up conversations. Michael's, you're anointed at that, I'm telling you right now. It's amazing. I had to train myself and make myself want to talk to people because I didn't want to talk to nobody, ever. You don't have that problem, which is nice. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by His Spirit. Yes, He's revealed to us His innermost heart, deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. So you're living life in the marketplace and you got nothing, but you figure, well, I'm gonna go talk to people. But then you know enough to start trying to kind of pay attention to some things going on, you know, maybe pay attention to any glimpses you might get in the movie screen in your mind, or, you know, any impressions or whatever. And so you just start talking to people. And all the time you're talking to people, Holy Spirit is searching all of those things with the Father. Father, what do you want to do here? What do you want to do here? What do you want to give me? What do you want me to say to him? What do you want me to show him? Show her. What we want to avoid is this. Someone living on the entirely human levels rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. Holy Spirit said that. Resist the temptation, in another place he said this, resist the temptation to pronounce premature judgment on anything before the appointed time when all will be fully revealed. Instead, wait until the Lord makes His appearance, for He will bring all that is hidden in darkness to light and unveil every secret motive of everyone's hearts. Then when the whole truth is known, each will receive praise from God. You know how I used to read this verse? I used to read this verse like it said, He'll bring all that is hidden, that is darkness, to light. Well, can somebody tell me that if you're starting out with things that are darkness being exposed, how in the world do you end up on each will receive praise from God? Has anybody stopped to think about that? Because what he's talking about here is he's talking about resist the temptation. And we talked about this when we talked about people living from the law of your own mind. It's a church killer. It's just natural man thinking. But he's dealing with that. He's saying resist the temptation to pronounce premature judgment on anything. In other words, don't be so quick to speak your own opinion on something that you're just simply observing from your either A, your own eyes, or B, your own emotions, or C, your own filter. Because what will happen is it will be a bad day for you when everything is exposed. He brings everything that was hidden, not that it was darkness, but it was darkness to you. He'll bring it all out into the light and unveil everybody's secret motives, including his own. And he comes up and stands next to the person that you drew judgment about, and he's praising them. And at that moment, you're saying, it sucks to be me. Because you weren't living from revelation, you were living from your own natural thought processes, you were living from the law of your own mind, and you made decisions based on the things that you set up in your own head. Back to Judges, each man did that which was right in his own head. This verse is simply saying, avoid the temptation to do that. Because there's more going on, potentially, that you're not aware of. So he's telling us how to live from revelation and not live from our own head. I was going to get into this, but we'll get into it another time. But the thing that's fascinating, and I started noticing this early on some time back, but if you read, again, John 14, 15, 16, and look at what Jesus prayed in chapter 17. Those are the last things that he says before he goes to the cross. And then you look at post-resurrection environment. Look at the book of Acts. I think I even stopped. There's probably at least, 8, 9, 10, 11, maybe. Probably more situations, incidents in the book of Acts post-resurrection that the central focus of conversation was not something in print. It was not something on a page. It was not Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It was the gift of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, the person. That's all Jesus is really talking about. John 14, 15, 16, prayed it in chapter 17. And then post-resurrection, that was their conversation. Every time you turned around, they're talking about the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, guys, hey, I know you feel bad because you put the dude in the cross, but if you let him remove you from your sin, you can be full of and receive the promise of the Father that was for you and for all of your family members and for everybody else that will ever exist from this moment forward, the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, why would there be that much focus on somebody that we so ignore? Because we shouldn't be. Because he's the one that, I mean, quite honestly, it's like we've fallen into what Paul said, that the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God because he can't see them. So we ignore the person of the Holy Spirit because our natural thought processes, our natural rooting can't see him. Well, we don't want to be that kind of people, right? I'm going to tell you right now, we're moving into some days, we're moving into the future where we're going to so know and so fulfill what Jesus said about intimately knowing the Holy Spirit. He's going to take you to whole new levels of life experience. And you'll finally realize when you read through John 14, 15, 16 and read the prayer that Jesus prayed in chapter 17, you'll finally realize what he's saying in those verses. Because you'll be living those verses. When he talks about joy, you'll understand what he's talking about. When he talks about peace, you'll understand what he's talking about. Not the theological concept of it that was transferred from one person's mind to yours, but you'll actually know what he's talking about because you'll be living in real time him and the Father and him and you at the same time. And it'll be the most amazing thing. And we'll sit there and we'll think, my God, what did I ever know in my life before this? There's nothing greater than this. And what you'll find is you'll begin to see and notice things in the marketplace with people that you maybe hadn't picked up on before, but you're learning how to plug in and develop in those things for you. You'll develop a little differently than me. I develop a little bit differently than somebody else. But the fact is we'll all be out there, we'll all be putting pressure on developing kingdom business and developing by the person of the Holy Spirit, getting to know him intimately. And I'm telling you, life will never be the same. You know what? We know what else will be amazing? There won't be an empty seat next to you. There won't be an empty seat. You know why? Because you will have brought an experience with Jesus into somebody's world. Yeah. And because you brought that experience of Jesus, can you imagine? Y'all can stand up. Can you imagine? Just imagine this. Just think about this for a minute. This one statement completely obliterates most of what we've called Christianity. What if there was only one rule that the apostles passed down from Jesus? What if we didn't have any book? All we had was one rule that was passed down from the mouth of Jesus to the apostles to all the second, third, fourth, fifth, and however, whatever generation of believer you are. What if it was just this one thing? And it was this. When we go out into the marketplace and live life, if I do not do the miracles, do not believe anything that I say. What do we got left? But see, there'll come a day when you can say, I know. I know what that, I that's where I live. But Jesus said, the same way the Father sent me into the world, I'm sending you the same way. So somewhere along the way, we should have said, if I don't do the miracles, if I don't produce miracles out of my life, do not believe anything I say. Why did he say that? Because the miracles coming out of Jesus were a simple byproduct of him being one in the Father and the Father being one in him. The miracles were just a byproduct. It just happened. They don't not happen. We're the one that invented a God that doesn't do them. It's just a byproduct in fact, he just said, you love me, and in return, when you love me, you'll be empowered. And if you put all the pieces together in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, you'll find out that he's talking about the exact same thing in each one of those chapters. He's just bringing another layer onto it. And if you put all those layers together, you get the picture of what oneness really looks like. It is the most amazing imagery of who you actually are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and praise you. Thank you for giving us revelation in these areas. Thank you for making us one with you. Thank you for putting your Holy Spirit on the inside that emanates directly out from Father's presence. Thank you for bringing us up into these things and causing us to be completely and utterly dissatisfied with just taking in information ever again. And I thank you, Lord, that you stir up such a dissatisfaction that even for all of us that maybe we're not comfortable just getting out there into the marketplace, but you'll stir up such a dissatisfaction on the inside of us that, my God, the only way to quench that and to shift and to change that dissatisfaction is to get out there where people are that were bought by the blood of Jesus and begin to learn how to talk to them, to learn how to notice things from the Spirit of God who's in us and with us about them and begin to minister kingdom realities to them so that they have an experience with you. Because you declare that you're coming back. And it's not very long. You're coming back very, very, very soon. And you want to come back and see the same thing that you knew and experienced in the realm and environment of heaven, which is the revelation of faith. You want to see that, the revelation of faith, active and alive and well, going and flowing in the earth. And I declare that right now over everybody in this room and everybody listening to this recording, that the Spirit of God stir up an absolute, utter dissatisfaction inside of our hearts to where we just got to get it fulfilled. And the only way to fulfill it is to learn how to speak from the place, to see from the place, and to minister from, to be trained, to allow ourselves to be trained by the person and the presence of the Spirit of God. We don't want anything else. We want that. We want that. Just raise your hands to heaven and say, I want that. I want that.
Hallelujah.
Father, I just declare this right now. As we give ourselves to these things, that mirror that we've been looking into, we've been looking at it into a mirror darkly. I thank you that as we begin to develop in these things, then the clarity of that mirror begins to get clearer and clearer until we realize we'll come to a place when we've given ourselves fully developed into these things that we'll look in the mirror and we'll absolutely see who we really are.
Yes.
Who we've always been the whole entire time. That haziness on the mirror is theory. Father, I just thank you that you bring it to pass. I thank you that you elevate these people and you elevate this church to the place that you have in your heart as far as influence in this city and the surrounding cities. And I absolutely declare that this place is filled with multiplied thousands of people who all have the same hunger, they all have the same desire, and they all have the same life habits, that they are going into the marketplaces and learning and allowing themselves to be given to being trained by the presence of you. And I thank you for that. And everybody that agreed with that prayer said, amen, amen, amen. Well, go have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.